All information is free. Did you know that? In fact, it isn't just free, it's timelessly free. So there's a qualifier on that. Information actually is non-ownable. Non-ownable.
Yay.
Questions?
If you're a seeker and you go to a teacher to find more stillness inside, does that happen through a transmission, or does it happen through, how does that happen basically, if you find yourself finding more peace inside and more silence inside? And when can you find that on your own, or is there a time when you don't need to seek anymore and you can just sit with it yourself, and how do you know that? Two parts to the question.
How does it happen? And
how do you get it from the teacher? I mean, are you getting it through just the presence of the person, or or does it kind of happen spontaneously? Or?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the great smiles out there, by the way. I'm looking out at a sea of smiles.
Maybe this is a point of view, but I guess it could be a question. It seems that resting as awareness is a natural state that we all arrive at, or we all experience, and that life wants us to be in that space. It seems like a very natural thing. So it just seems, it seems very real and natural. There's no like clever tricks about it. That's how I see it. I don't know if that's how you see it.
Mm-hmm. There's two thoughts that are going through my mind. Raising a child, and especially a young child, allowing their inner wisdom to come forth. And then the other thing that's been percolating within me is within and without are not two. And I desire for you to deepen that.
This is a new edition. I've never had this before, the napkin on top of the glass. I'll do my best to act appropriate.
People from
I kind of like the idea. Didn't need to have a story about it. I had a dream a while ago, and in the dream, everyone in the world had been rounded up and put in a prison. And it was a prison, all right. But at the same time, it was an okay place to be. It wasn't a dungeon. It wasn't a snake pit filled with vipers or any of the other kinds of prison applications that humankind might come up with. So, you know, there's quite a wide variety. This was an okay place to be. And while it was a prison, it was also a couple of other institutions as well. It was a monastery. It had that tone, that flavor of a monastery. And it also had the flavor of, though I've never been there, what I imagine the Googleplex to be. The Googleplex is the place where Google workers work. At least quite a few of them work there. And the Googleplex, if you don't know about it, is it's a work environment, but it has a few fun twists as well. For example, the engineers there have one day a week when they can work on their own projects. So 20% of their time they can spend working on whatever they want to work on, and then Google pays them for that. People can bring their dogs to work, and they have something at Google called the Google 15, and that refers to the amount of weight everyone gains when they go to work at Google. Because they have an enormous amount of food available everywhere, and it's quite abundant and organic and anything you could ever want to feed on is available at Google. So, you know, they try to create a work environment that's outside what we would normally consider the 9-to-5 Protestant work ethic type of industrial setting. So anyway, we were in this facility that, while it had these aspects, monastery, oh yeah, well that's okay, we could probably get along there. Googleplex sounds like a pretty good place to be, but nevertheless a prison. And so they took some of us here in this room, including me, and they put us in a special room at this place because they saw us as a particular threat. And we had these really quite nice chairs to sit in, kind of like these, but a little wider. And so we were told to sit down in these chairs, which we did. And because we were a special threat, they put these chains across our laps. So we couldn't possibly get up. But it wasn't a medieval chain or anything like that. It was a very sophisticated, high-tech apparatus that no one could ever possibly get out of. So they secured us there, and then they all left the room, and we were just sitting there. And I said, well, we're out of here. We all turned invisible. And then we slipped past all the guards, and we'd go up the heating vents, and we could go through the bars and the windows. We could go all of these places that no one could go if they were visible. And then once we got outside, we flew up into the air in our great invisibility. And when we got up there, there were all these choices we could make of things to do. It was like a theme park in the sky. So there was a mansion and a department store, a shopping center, you know, an auto plaza to buy cars. We could have anything that we wanted in the sky. Tiffany, Cartier, anything we could possibly want was up in the sky. But also up in the sky was a Garuda. Now, a Garuda is a mythical creature that is bird and person together. So it's a bird and a person together. And what the Garuda represents is, it represents the liberation of the human mind. In other words, it represents the farthest reaches of what the human mind is capable of, what the human body represents. So the symbol of the Garuda is a very, very powerful symbol. And it represents the best that a human being can be, the very, very best in body, speech, mind, qualities, and activities that a human being can be. And this particular Garuda was made of sky. So it wasn't made of feathers or anything like that. It was made of sky. It wasn't made of traditional bird material. It was made of sky. And so we decided to go for the Garuda. Of all these rides in the amusement park, we wanted the Garuda. And so we got on the Garuda's neck and we sat down. But we were just like specks of invisible sky on the sky of the Garuda. And then we soared off into the sky. And then the next thing that we did in the dream was that from this place we had gone, we could easily go back into this prison, and we were just getting everyone out of there. So everyone was coming out, everyone was turning invisible, everyone was getting a ride on the Garuda, and everyone was sky-like. So this represents the nature of our being. The nature of our being is that our mind is pristine like sky. It's absolutely pristine like sky. And that is our nature always throughout our entire life. It's not something we need to strive for or achieve or accomplish. So the idea that we need to strive for, achieve, or accomplish sky-like awareness is simply a concept. It's simply a story that we tell ourselves about what we must do in order to realize who we are. And the prison in the dream is so representative of conceptual frameworks, all the conceptual frameworks that we can take ourselves to be. The human being is very, very interesting. The human being is the only phenomenon appearing among all phenomena that appear as either tangible or intangible things within the universe, the cosmos, or even the unknown. So let's go even beyond the universe and the cosmos, and let's say just whatever phenomena appear in within the unknown, the human being is the only one that we know of who can take itself to be whatever it wants to be. So this is very amazing, really. Human beings are the only beings, the only phenomenon that can take themselves to be whatever they want to be. And what that means is that within sky-like awareness, all of the phenomena that appear, the Googleplex of information, we can choose from that information what we want to be. And whatever we choose from that information, then that's what we are. That's who we take ourselves to be. And it's really as simple as that. So when in the Great Freedom Teaching the instruction is offered to rest naturally as awareness for short moments repeated many times, until it becomes automatic, until it becomes continuous. That is the only instruction. That is the only instruction. In sky-like awareness, all of this information appears, and all of the information that appears is a self-appearance of that awareness. It's never outside of that awareness. It's never been anything other than that awareness. Just like the color blue is inseparable from the sky, awareness, sky-like awareness, timeless awareness, cannot be separated from what appears within it. What that means for us as human beings is that we have a choice in every moment, and it's really the most important choice we have, and it's to enjoy awareness, maintain the awareness that is the basis of everything, maintain the awareness by which we know that everything is. We wouldn't know that anything is at all without awareness. And by virtue of that for most of us, we gradually become familiar with that which is already the case. So the awareness has never gone anywhere. It's simply through acknowledging it that it becomes more familiar to us. So in that way, we could say that we gain familiarity with it. We don't need to use any complicated terms about how this happens, why this happens, where this happens, if someone is doing something to someone else, or any of that. It's simply a matter of getting familiar with awareness. That's really as simple and straightforward as we can make it. And to the degree that we're willing to become familiar with awareness in this totally simple, straightforward way, we can move beyond all conceptual frameworks, all conceptual frameworks whatsoever. And so what that means is that we stop taking ourselves to be this never-ending array of descriptions. We stop taking ourselves to be bound in any way by all of the information that appears within awareness. And over time, certainly for most people, although once in a while for someone, it is instantaneous, it is sudden, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's instantaneous or gradual. These are not even things that need to be talked about, really. It is whatever it is for you. It is whatever it is for you. And all of the thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences that appear for you, they're the perfect stuff of getting familiar with awareness. Nothing needs to change about them, so you don't need to make them into better thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences. You don't need to try to get rid of any negative ones. You won't be able to cling to the good ones, and it's impossible as well to get rid of the bad ones. So these are just a spontaneous responsiveness that's natural to awareness, like the reflections in a mirror. What's looking is awareness, and whatever appears within that awareness is like a reflection appearing in a mirror. Nothing needs to be done about it. It doesn't need to be pushed away or pulled towards you or anything at all. You can do all those things if you wish, but of course then you've made the choice to say, well, this, I want to go with this description. I think I'd like to be a such and such. Not that there's anything wrong with these descriptions, as Jerry Seinfeld would say, but, you know, because there's nothing wrong with any of them at all. We can spend our whole life, if we want to, cultivating positive states. And certainly that might feel a lot better than being lost in a stew of uncontrollable thoughts and emotions and bouncing around from one to the other. So one thing, one antidote we can apply is to try to cultivate positive states, positive thoughts, positive emotions, positive actions, positive sensations in our bodies, sensations that we decide are positive. Another thing we can do is we can just avoid all the negative thoughts, emotions, experiences, and sensations. So that's another antidote we can apply. And depending on the antidotes we apply, we can feel comfortable to some degree. So, you know, we can also replace what appears with something else, trying to make the appearances better. But if we choose to live within that framework of antidotes, then we've made a choice to live within a conceptual framework. We've said, well, yeah, I believe I need to somehow be in control of my thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences in order to have well-being. That's what we've said to ourselves. Now, there is a fourth approach, and that is to rest as awareness. That's the fourth approach, to rest naturally for short moments repeated many times until it becomes continuous in a completely uncontrived way. So that means that we don't sit down in a chair and try to maintain a long period of awareness, or sit down anywhere else, or stand up or lie down, trying to maintain a long period of awareness. Instead, initially, whenever we remember, we just enjoy the awareness that's at the basis of everything. That is at the basis of a troublesome thought or a pleasureful thought. And as we do so, over the course of time, we gain more familiarity with the awareness that is already there. So it isn't something new we're getting from somewhere else. It's already accomplished. It's already present. Sometimes I give talks like this, and at the end of the talk, a number of people raise their hand and say, well, what can I do? What can I do to get familiar with awareness? Because it is sometimes very difficult to receive that gaining familiarity with awareness is so simple, because we've been offered so many different approaches. We've been offered a never-ending array of approaches. And all of those approaches are conceptual frameworks. Even the very, very best of all approaches is a conceptual framework. In getting familiar with awareness in the simple way of resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times in a totally uncontrived way, it will become continuous, it will become automatic. And not only that, this is guaranteed. It really is guaranteed. Who or what is it guaranteed by? It's guaranteed by you. It's guaranteed by the awareness by which you know you are. So that's how strong the guarantee is. It's the greatest guarantee you can ever get out of life. There are no other guarantees. You're born with this awareness. After a while, you know that you are via this awareness. At first, awareness is just completely unimpeded. When you're born, you don't remember anything about it because there aren't any impressions yet. There just aren't any impressions. Awareness is unstructured and unimpeded. And that awareness never changes. It never goes anywhere. It's unalterable, unchangeable throughout all of life and at death as well. To the degree that we become familiar with that, to that degree we can feel comfortable in life. Now, what does it mean to be familiar with it in a practical sense? What does that really mean about us if we choose to represent the marvelous Garuda, who is symbolic of our own being? What does that mean? There are many ways of talking about it, but as you know, I like to talk about things in a simple, straightforward way that everyone on earth can understand, not just a few. So what it means is, well, we get happy. And we get friendly. And not only that, but we get smart. We get smarter than we were. You see, when we're honing in on a lot of different descriptions and conceptual frameworks, there isn't a balanced view of everything that's going on. So we get smarter. And we get playful, and creative. We're not so involved in needing to make ourselves into something every single moment and looking for a story to substantiate everything. So our creativity and playfulness are unleashed. And from that comes productivity. We want to be productive in a powerful way. And our productivity is motivated by benefit, being a benefit. So we want to use our productivity to be cooperative and beneficial in life. And so those are just simple ways of talking about who we really are. And along with that comes the power to think and know in a particularly potent way. To think and know, and also to speak in a very potent way. To act in a potent way that wasn't possible before when honing in on all the information and trying to make sense of it. The information is all still there. We just learn that we don't have to do anything about it. The information is just the information. It's self appearing information of the basis or the ground intelligence of all information. All phenomena that appear are pervaded with this intelligence. There isn't a single thing that is or isn't that is not pervaded by the ground intelligence, which is equal to awareness. And all the information that appears within that intelligence is non-different from it. In other words, that intelligence is pure intelligence. It's absolutely pure intelligence. And all its appearances, all the information that appears, that's pure as well, because it's a self-appearance of the ground intelligence, which is synonymous with awareness. So when we know ourselves in this very simple way, and I really invite everyone everywhere to know yourself in this simple way. People will be listening to this talk all over the world. Tens of thousands of people listen to these talks we have about 150 free downloads on the internet, all made within the last year, full-length talks. People everywhere listen. We really don't even know how many because the files get passed around without our being able to keep track of them. People are taking up this simple invitation everywhere to just through resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times, allow it to become continuous in a completely uncontrived way. To not feel forced any longer to rely on any methods, means, or wishful thinking about getting familiar with who we are. There are no conceptual frameworks necessary. There are no institutional frameworks necessary of any kind. This is a very straightforward, built-in, embedded, already encoded functionality of our own being. So we don't need any special gimmicks to make it come about. If we believe even for an instant that we need a special gimmick to make it come about, then that's just time to rest. Maybe you've been involved in some kind of practice or approach for a very long period of time. It doesn't mean you need to give it up. Just when you feel the pull of that, like, I've got to do my practice, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, just rest and look at your whole life from the vantage of this balanced view rather than from the prison. Now, you know, some of the ways we try to be good human beings, they're very attractive and they can feel like they give us some kind of safety or comfort factor. However, I invite you and, well, I even beg you and implore you actually to go beyond that. You really don't need any any institutional frameworks or conceptual frameworks. I certainly don't have any, and I get along just fine. And so even though some of these things are attractive and they've been around for a long time, the methods and means we use to find out who we are that represent many different cultures of the world, the most basic of all the cultures is human culture. This is a birthright that belongs to all of us, and it cannot be put into any kind of institutional framework, so you don't need to do that if you don't want to. If you want to, well, that's fine too. But if you don't want to, know that you're going to feel even more safe and comfortable without it. So if you feel like, wow, you know, maybe I'm okay without this security. I've been seeking within something that's been described to me by something else. Why don't I just give it a try? So, you know. Now, another way we could look at this in just a simple way in terms of the way things are progressing in the world is that 100 years from now, none of these institutional frameworks will be around any longer. They'll all be completely deconstructed and gone. They'll be artifacts of the past. And this will just naturally happen with the increasing global community of humankind, where more and more we speak a common language. We have a uniform language for understanding many things about ourselves. And for this most important of all matters, too, we will have a uniform language of speaking about and understanding ourselves so that we can easily communicate with each other. Have you ever tried from the position of your own special practice to then describe to someone else what your practice is about? And then they have their practice, and it's really difficult to make a bridge sometimes and be understood when actually we're all talking about the same thing. The more that we can know that as human beings, the better. There's a great deal of interest today in the mind and in intelligence. And in fact, this is going to be the next frontier of science and technology. However, when we as human beings set ourselves up to do something like make intelligent objects, then we're doing that from the point of view that we know what intelligence is. So we better be very sure we know what intelligence is before we start projecting it into ways and means of living life and doing things. And the only way we can really get familiar with what that intelligence is to get familiar with that by which we know intelligence. We would not know intelligence without awareness. Everything that is knowable appears in awareness, so awareness is the root of all that is knowable. If it can be kept as simple as that, and you can rest in awareness. One other simple suggestion would just to be to know that in that, nothing that appears has an independent nature. It doesn't have a nature that's independent of that ground awareness, that ground intelligence. There's nothing whatsoever anywhere that has ever existed elsewhere that has ever had a nature of its own. That's what it means to not have an independent nature. Because nothing has a nature of its own that is other than this ground intelligence, what that means to us is that nothing that appears has any power to affect our ultimate well-being. nothing that appears has any power to affect our awareness. And so how we learn about that and gain familiarity with it is within our own being. We are representatives of the ground intelligence. We are representatives of that. And in our own being, when we just maintain awareness, then we tap directly into that ground intelligence. We tap into that essential power that is the determining quality of our being. When we tap into that determining quality of our being, awareness, then less and less are we affected by all the thoughts, emotions, sensations that we once were so certain had a power to affect us. How many people here today feel that their thoughts and emotions can affect whether or not they have a good day? Probably more than that, but thanks, Rick, for raising your hand. Just know that no matter what your thoughts and emotions are, by resting in awareness, you will come to know that they can't make you have a bad day. You see, resting as awareness is the perfect biofeedback loop. Now, do you know what a biofeedback loop is? I'll explain a very simple one that perhaps some of you have used. You stand on a scale to weigh yourself. you look down at the scale, and it shows that you've gained 50 pounds. Or, you know, in this very body-focused era, maybe you've only gained 2 pounds, but the reaction is the same. Horror! I'm not getting even close to that idealized image of myself. And so this is a biofeedback loop. We look at the scale, we see the weight, and then we implement an action based on it. So you see, when we rest as awareness, then it being the perfect biofeedback loop, when we rest as awareness, all of these things that we thought had so much power, over time they no longer do. And then in retrospect, we're looking back and we can't even believe we gave them any power because it's just so natural to be at ease. It's completely natural to be at ease. So I'd like to welcome all of you to the era of ease. I'd like to welcome you to the ethic of comfort and rest. This is the natural state. This is the perfectly natural state of everyone. There's never been anyone who has been apart from that. And there's no need to say that it's anything in particular, like within or without or neither nor or all these twisted contortionist life ways of languaging things so that no one can possibly understand them. It's just not necessary. Whatever appears, it is a reflection of awareness. That's it. That by which we know everything is awareness. So awareness is its root. Awareness is its basis. Awareness is its ground. There's no way of getting away from it. Whatever appears has no more substance than a mirage, just like a mirage is absent of its own nature. It doesn't have a beingness of its own. It's a self-appearing phenomena of basic space. That's it. So too all thoughts, emotions, and experiences, all sensations are like a mirage. Initially, when beginning to rest as awareness, it feels good, but in, but enters in. The big but. And but says, well, this awareness, yeah, feels good. I like this. I kind of like this. But what am I going to do if I have a headache? Or, you know, but what am I going to do if I get sick? Or, but can I do this at work? Well, just rest as all the buts, too. Because in the beginning, there may be a lot of buts. Maybe there won't be, but there could be. A lot of ways to try to disprove what is natural. But this is simply because of all this information, so much information that tells us otherwise about ourselves. There's a lot of it, isn't there? So, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. There's just going to be more and more, so there's nothing that can be done about it. There will be new and different kinds and unbelievable things, great things, horrible things, and this will just keep going on. There's not any way whatsoever to contain it or make it into any kind of form that's going to be comfortable. So just relax. Totally relax. And in allowing everything to just be as it is, but without an intellectual construct where you're saying, oh, I'm going to accept this, I have to let everything be as it is. Not that. That's just another trick, another gimmick. Rest. Rest, rest, rest. It doesn't matter. Rest doesn't mean anything like no thoughts appearing. It doesn't mean that. So if you think it means that, just forget it. It doesn't mean that. It means that rest, you see, it's inseparable from all thoughts. It's inseparable from all emotions. It's just that when we're all caught up in thoughts and emotions for decades, then we don't realize that rest is the basis, that awareness is the basis. Unalterable, unchangeable awareness is the basis of every thought. We think the mind is comprised of thoughts. We don't realize that the mind is awareness. And so in the beginning it might seem like there's awareness and then the thoughts, but it doesn't really even matter. Just short moments repeated many times in a totally uncontrived way. And what seemed to be two will be not two over time without ever thinking about it, without ever understanding any theories or dogmas, just simple, straightforward, the reality of your own being. You don't have to try to change any of your thoughts or your emotions or your past or even what's going on now. If you seek to make changes in your life, the best change to make is to rest. From that, you'll have the balanced view to make any other changes that may need to be made. But fiddling around with all the information isn't going to produce changes that will bring comfort and ease. So even though this may feel alien to you to just let your thoughts rip, that means, is that an outmoded expression from the hippie era? You know, I'm from the hippie era. Just let them rip. It means you just let everything be as it is. So instead of trying to get the thoughts to stop doing what they're doing, or the emotions to stop doing what they're doing, or to get more refined, lovely emotional and thought states, just let them rip. Whatever they are, they are. You know, one moment you may be flaming, miserable, angry, and then the next moment not. Or maybe the anger is something that's an ongoing issue for you. Most people have at least one or two ongoing issues like anger, jealousy, whatever it might be. So you may get into that kind of angry, jealous state. It might last all day, but just rest as often as you can remember to do so. You will come to realize that these states, no matter how powerful they may be, they have no power to affect your well-being. But it can't come from trying to manipulate or contain them in any way. So the knowledge in your own decisive experience that they cannot affect you in any way does not come from trying to manipulate them or rearrange them. It can only come from rest. In rest, everything that appears is mastered. It doesn't matter what it is. Mastered in a very potent way. In a way so potent that no matter what appears, including your own suffering, sickness, death, that will come up for everyone in life, you're completely at ease, completely comfortable. Who we are is very simple. We're representatives of the natural order of everything. That natural order of everything is pervaded by its own intelligence. Its intelligence is ambient knowledge. I had to work that in. Sorry, it was in the Pacific Sun. It just popped out. So, ambient knowledge, that just means all pervasive, you know, it's around everywhere. So. Ambient sound, naturally occurring ambient light, naturally occurring light, you know, just whatever light is here. But in this case, the ambiance of the natural order of everything is that it is intelligent. It's intelligent in its own right, and this intelligence is the core intelligence. It's the pure intelligence. This is the very real nature of our being. It doesn't need to be run toward or run away from. There's no escape. There's absolutely no escape in any way. So just in allowing it to be as it is, we become the most powerful we can be. When we're completely in accord with, when we're completely aligned with the intelligence of the natural order of everything, then we replicate that power as a human being. We are a replica of that power. We're a representative of that power. And if we look at the natural order of things, we see that with all the self-appearing phenomena of that natural order, the human being is the only one who is working so hard to try to change things so that the natural order won't occur, like to try to stop the thoughts, try to stop the emotions, the sensations, make them into something else. So when we just relax and act like nature does, which is to rest, then everything becomes easy. The ease of being makes it easy. Just the ease of relaxing into the natural order of everything. Doesn't that feel incredible? There's nothing better. Whatever you need to know or do is known perfectly in rest. Rest doesn't mean taking up any particular physical posture, like sitting down or being in a perfect idyllic location or having perfect health or any of that. That's not what rest is. Rest is just the evidence of everything just as it is. Just as everything rests, we're always at rest. It can never be taken away from us, and it can be never be given to us either. So if you think that there is someone who can give it to you or take it away from you, that's another institutional framework. There are people who can support us greatly, but the greatest support is always very simple. It's always very, very simple, and a total act of love and wisdom. It's not a complicated thing with a lot of strings. How could our natural state be complicated and have a lot of strings? We wouldn't even be without it. So how could it possibly be complicated and have a lot of strings attached? Just enjoy yourself. If you want to fall in love with yourself. Totally and completely. Any kind of love you're looking for will be so far surpassed in that that it'll be astounding. If you want to know about love, just know yourself. That's it. No, if you all the talk about unconditioned love can only be known in the reality of your own being. That's it. Unconditional love is the here and now of your own being, the radiant clarity of your own being, just as it is, with all the thoughts and emotions that are being had, with all the physical sensations that are being had, all the experiences. And being at ease without needing to change anything. Just in the same way that you'd love a little child who was 1 minute blowing up and the next minute sweet and nice. As a parent, you just have to relax or your life is total hell. From the balanced view of rest, then as a parent, you can take incisive action. Or, you know, if you have a work project, a creative project that you're contributing to life, you can take incisive action from the total freedom of complete ease. Isn't that amazing? Without ever having a single worry or concern about the outcome. Wow. That's who we're meant to be. One description after another of who we've taken ourselves to be, it just goes out the window, you know. They're just not necessary any longer. And as they go out the window, then there's just the sky. The sky of awareness. The complete ease of being, that it doesn't need any books or authorities to confirm it. It can only be confirmed in the reality of our own being. And we're the only ones who can know if we've gone beyond all frameworks or not. We're the only ones who can know. No one else can possibly know that. Well, maybe. Glee occurs to me. Now, that's a great word, isn't it? Just glee. That's how we're meant to respond to life, with glee. What could be better than that? That's been my favorite phrase all week, by the way. Each week I seem to have a favorite phrase. What could be better than that? Thank you for coming today.